Tonight's scripture reading is John 13, 1 to 17, and 31b to 35. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already decided that Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, would betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from supper, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and reclined again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I am your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, slaves are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. But this everyone will know, that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the reading of the word. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Jesus of Nazareth, if the disciples had known that the Last Supper would be their last meal with you, I bet they would have listened differently. I bet they would have put down their arguments and leaned in with their whole bodies and taken notes. I bet they'd asked questions and halted the small talk. Jesus, we want to listen like that. So clear away anything in us that might distract. Clear away anything that might hinder our hearing and receiving of your word. We are listening with hope and honesty. Amen. My grandma, Wilma, joined the church triumphant back in October of 2001. We had a habit of calling her Saint Wilma, primarily because she was able to live with our grandpa without strangling him, but also because she was kind. She showed a kindness to people who other people weren't kind to. She was the only person in my mom's family that was nice to my dad. And she didn't hesitate to scold you when you were not kind. there was always room in the house for one or two or three more people when Grandma was around. Thanksgiving was our big family holiday. Family from all over the East Coast would come into Erie just to come home, and Grandma would make so many pies and turkey and ham because Grandpa didn't like turkey. My grandparents' house wasn't huge by any stretch of the imagination. It was a very modest home, but somehow we were always able to fit almost 40 people in that house for Thanksgiving. Of course, the kids, and the definition of kids was 30 years old or under, and for some reason that age kept increasing every year. The kids had our own makeshift table in the unheated garage. There were a few cousins that I only ever saw at Thanksgiving. You know, I'd see them once a year, still really enjoyed hanging out with them. I always looked forward to it. And when I wanted to invite a friend or a boyfriend to share that Thanksgiving experience, Grandma would always say, "Sure, we'd love to have them." Never, ever was there a fear that there wouldn't be enough food or enough space for them. And I wasn't the only grandchild who asked to have somebody else come. Grandma was the glue that held our family together. And I think that's even more remarkable, considering she was Grandpa's third wife. His previous wives had left him widowed. When she died, it was quite unexpected. There were no more family Thanksgiving dinners. Grandpa moved to a retirement community. The kids started, like, they tried throwing a Thanksgiving gathering here or there, but someone was always left out. There were always hurt feelings. The New York clans didn't come down anymore. Uncle Bill and Uncle Joel had some sort of falling out, and no one knew how to smooth that over. And let's be honest, the pies were nowhere near as good. I wish I had known Thanksgiving 2000 would be the last family Thanksgiving. I might have savored that turkey a little bit more. Or at the very least, I would have had a second piece of Grandma's pie. I might have spent a little more time with my rarely seen cousins. I might have hugged my Uncle Bill a little bit tighter. I might have paid attention to how Grandma eased tensions when siblings got argumentative or when us kids got a little too rowdy. But none of us knew that that was going to be our last Thanksgiving with Grandma. Sometimes, in cases of prolonged illnesses, people are able to prepare their folks for their departure. And I sometimes wonder if she had known, maybe she would have purposely prepared us a little bit more. Prepared us how to live without her. It wouldn't have stopped the grief. We wouldn't miss my grandma any less, but that kind of preparation can help make the grief a little bit more manageable. It might have held us together. This is Jesus's work on this last day. You and I, we all here, we all know that this was the last time the disciples would be with Jesus. And Jesus knew that it was his last time with them all together. But the disciples didn't know that. It was just another dinner with him. Jesus took this opportunity to prepare them. And by preparing them, he served them. He served his friends in all humility. And to articulate, he wanted to also articulate what he wants his friends to remember so that they can be held together after his death. Last year, I made quite a few of you rather uncomfortable with very thorough descriptions of foot washing. But this is kind of an important part of Maundy Thursday. It's an important part of what Jesus was trying to prepare the disciples for. It's so important. John included a lot of detail in just two verses. He's narrating the scene in real time. Jesus got up, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around himself, poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet. This is a pretty odd thing for people to do today. But the people who were reading this at the time, foot washing was recognized. It was something that was quite familiar to them. It was a common Jewish and Greco-Roman practice, and it served hygiene purposes and hospitality purposes, and it was a known, religious ritual. Feet, especially sandaled feet, get more than a little dusty when you're walking, when walking is your primary mode of transportation. So normally, hosts would offer water so that guests could wash their own feet. But every so often, the host would have one of their servants wash the guests' feet. When Jesus washes the disciples' feet, he is combining the roles of both servant and host. What Jesus is doing here is more than just washing feet. He's engaging in this tender act of care and compassion, the intimacy. He's living into an action of equality. Every single person who was present that day was worthy of being served, regardless of what was in their hearts, regardless of what decisions they're going to make in a few hours. Jesus washes Judas's feet. Jesus is holding the disciples together through the free gift of love. And Jesus wants the disciples and all of us to remember this gift, this action. And he commands us to do likewise. The command isn't necessarily to wash people's feet. It's to love people the way that he has loved them. We're not commanded to know the Bible backwards and forwards. We're not commanded to hope. We're not commanded to have the right kind of faith. We're not even commanded to follow biblical law. Jesus' command to us is to love. And not just to love, but to love the way that Christ loves. How did Jesus love them? How does Jesus love us? Well, they, the disciples, and we have to look back on all of our encounters. Jesus loved them, us, through his actions, through the healings, the teachings, the signs and wonders. Jesus loved them by becoming a servant, by kneeling down and washing their tired and dusty feet. John tells us that Jesus loved to the end. And that can be taken a couple of different ways, right? That Jesus loved until his very last breath. Or that Jesus loved to the fullest extent. I think John meant it both ways. I think John meant that we should be reading it as both at the same time. That Jesus loved with every ounce of energy, with every second of time allotted, and with every bit of will that he has. And it wasn't easy, but he did it anyway. I wonder if the disciples had known that this was their last night with Jesus, if they would have leaned in a little more closely to hear what Jesus was saying, if they would have paid more attention to the way that Jesus showed his love, if they would have asked more questions, if they would have had a second piece of grandma's pie. Thankfully, they were able to remember that final night, and we are also able to read about that final night, the time that Jesus became a servant to show them love in action. Again. And because of that, the disciples were able to keep each other close, even in a time of their deepest grief and their greatest danger. They were able to be held together by emulating the one that held them together in the first place. Again and again, we too are held together by the example and love of Jesus. Remember this and believe. Thanks be to God.